Good morning. Congratulations to our two mayors who were re-elected overwhelmingly. We're delighted to see that the people recognize your brilliance, competence, and wonderfulness as we do. Thank you. Should we start? You ready, Mr. Chair?
Yes, may we take the roll, please?
Sure. Committee Chair, Director Roth.
Here.
Director Canham. Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
We have a forum.
Where are we on Director Canham?
He will join us for the board meeting.
Okay.
And I'm not mistaken, we have no recusals on this agenda. So we should be fine with the group that we have. Okay. First matter of business is the approval of the minutes of the March 24th meeting. May I have a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify aye.
Aye.
Same sign, motion carries. Mr. Kovak, I was told we have to be done by 10 o'clock. Just kidding. Let's take items 1 and 2.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Engineering, we've got 6 items up together on the agenda this morning, and I wanted to introduce 2 informational items before I began with item 1 and 2. The first informational item concerns the approval of an authorization to proceed, and this was one of the ones that was authorized by the chair last month, I believe, when you came in, you signed it, and per your request, you know, I wanted to give the board a little briefing on that. I want to also point out that anytime that the chair or the executive director or myself or all the MPPs in that monthly summary report that we provide to you on the program, there is a discussion in there also of what items were approved. This particular one was for additional quantities associated with removing the existing overlay on one of the I-355 ramps. We thought that going into the job that the overlay was only 1/4 inch thick, and when they actually got out there, they found that the existing overlay was 1 inch thick, so we had to pay for the additional work, and it amounted to $174,222.38. That project is now in closeout, and I wanted you to know that it is within budget, so there shouldn't be any issues with that. It was the other information.
Sorry, can you just explain how we wouldn't know that something was an inch thick and it was supposed to be 1/4 inch thick, or where we thought it was 1/4 inch? I'm not being accusatory. I'm just curious
right.
How the system is to know those things.
I mean, we don't go out and core, you know, take core samples ahead of time. So we're relying on the as-built information we have, depending on how old that is, and in certain areas, as much as I would like to tell you that roadway construction is perfect, you know, they do probably make up for some slight differences in elevation with additional overlay. As long as it's more than we specified, we're usually okay with it. But when you're coming back in later and removing it, you got to remove all of it in order that the new overlay has a good bounding surface on the existing base. So that's the best explanation I could come up with.
So are you saying that, like more recently, do you would internally you keep records of where the overlay has been with more than?
We do. In the as-built plans, they do document exactly what the conditions are, and there will be local variances in whatever they report, because they're not going to go down to that level and say, well, maybe this one ramp was a little thicker than the other ones. They probably wouldn't note that, but they would make sure that at least met the minimum requirement on the plan. So I don't think we have it as tightened down as noting, you know, like every few hundred feet exactly what the
overlay.
I understand the question of the minimum and the maximum, but here's an example of where having more than you thought ends up costing us more than we thought.
Except that you know, we do build 5% into the construction budgets for this very purpose, and it was an item that was included in the original contract, so we did get a competitive bid for the project, and all we did was increase the quantity, so this one I really, I think we've done it the best we could do.
Okay, thank you.
The second item I wanted to bring to your attention was, I know that Rosemont advertised the Belmore work, and they opened bids on that project, and they received six very, very competitive bids. The low bidder was Lord Construction. It came in at $14,242,056.50. It was well within the established budget. Groundbreaking is expected May 5th, and we're going to have that new northbound exit at Belmore by the end of the year. So that's really good news for us. I think the bids are coming in very low now, and it looks as if the contractors are definitely sharpening their pencils, and they're actually, I won't say they're not doing it for any profit, but they're definitely cutting their margins because they want to keep their core people busy, and they want to keep their core equipment operating, and it looks like we're getting better better bids than ever.
And that contract on at Balmoral, that was with Rosemont, right? Not with the tollway. So you're just giving us a report on what?
Yeah, I just wanted to report back to you. We are cost participating on this. The fact that the construction bids coming in well below the budgeted amount, roughly $8 million.
What percentage is that of the engineer's estimate?
Pardon me?
The lower number is what percentage of the engineer's estimate? You're down by $8 million. Is that 15%, 20%?
It's about 33%.
Really?
33%. The range in bids went from 14.2 to 16.5 million. Most of the differential was in, there are some retaining walls that are performance-based specs, which means that, the contractor can update the design and put in something, more cost-effective. And a lot of the savings came out in that, but we also noticed that a lot of the items, where they usually build in some of their profit, like mobilization, and some of the maintenance of traffic, the things they do first in the job, they really cut down their bids on those particular items.
I have a question for Mike. So did Rosemont issue the bonds? And
Rosemont has not yet issued the bonds. They're working on the offering.
So they're awarding the contract before they have the financing? That doesn't sound sequence quite right to me.
I think that's a practice that we would undertake as well. I mean, they wouldn't start the work, I don't believe, until. And actually, a portion of their work is, I think they maybe financing a portion of it too.
Possible.
They're financing a portion of it through.
Well, at least what we do oftentimes is start a project, fund it with current revenues, and reimburse the tollway capital accounts with bond proceeds.
Okay.
it's not unusual.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just sort of curious, because once you enter into a construction contract for that amount, then either you have the money in the bank or you're pretty sure you're going to be able to finance it. The tollway authority that might be a little different than somebody like the Rosemont.
More options.
We always have, reserve and replacement funds, so even if you don't hit the market at the right time, you're going to have the funds there. So that's a little curious. It is a little curious to me. That's equal. So.
Rosemont is the lead on this work. It's all going to be off of our system for the most part. It won't be impacting our traffic. And, we committed to giving them half the revenue that we collect at this particular ramp once it opens. Up until we pay off half of what we're participating. So it seems like it's always
pretty
insulated.
Well, our portion of the project plus the financing cost.
Right. Which is our portion of the project.
Yeah, right now we don't know what the financing costs are, is sort of what you're saying, right? Because they haven't issued the bonds yet.
Well, we set the upper limit, though.
Yeah, we capped.
We capped
our exposure.
Okay.
Other questions?
Okay, without further ado, then, are we into items one and two?
Very good.
The first two engineering board items are construction contract awards. Item one is a construction contract award for the repair of four bridges on the South Tri-State between Chicago Road and the I-55 ramps, and one bridge on the North Tri-State at Everett Road. FH Passion SN Nielsen is a low bidder at $1,568,531.80, and that did come in within our budget, and they have committed to meeting our DBE goal on this project. And the next item is a construction contract award for the rehab of two ramp bridges. And these two ramp bridges are located at that large system interchange between I-294 and I-90, right by O'Hare Airport. The actual details of those bridges are, it's the one bridge is ramp B, connects southbound 294 to eastbound 90, and the second ramp bridge is ramp D, and it connects northbound I-294 to westbound I-90. Work includes placing a new bridge deck, replacing some of the beams, and redoing the approach pavement, and it's all being done at a very, very busy interchange. Lord Construction was our low bidder at $13,120,362.65. They've committed to meeting our DBE goal. We did receive 8 very, very competitive bids also on this work. We want to get them started as soon as possible because it requires, this first bridge is going to require a traffic detour to be in place while they're replacing it. The bridge is on a very tight curve and we can't maintain traffic on it while we're rebuilding it. You know, we can't do it in stages, we can't do half at a time. And then we're going to finish up with the second ramp bridge next year. And all this is being done because we'd like to get our work out of the way and clear for the motorists before IDOT's planned work. And IDOT's planning to do some work on 190, and that could start, you know, any time after 2012. So we're grateful that we're going to get our work done ahead of that.
Again, the bids were aggressive. Even the highest of the 8 bidders was almost $3 million below the engineer's estimate. So it's indicative of your earlier assessment. Any questions on items number 1 or 2? Hearing none, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of items 1 and 2, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and items 1 and 2 will be placed on the consent agenda. Now let's go to item number 3.
Okay. And the next two items concern professional service contracts. One's for design and one was for construction management. And both of these professional service contracts, we advertised for them under our professional services bulletin 11-1, which was published in March 11th, actually. And on that bulletin, the statements of interest were due March 28th. We got 50 statements of interest, and 43 independent firms submitted statements on that particular bulletin. 3 of those firms were outright DBE or MBE certified. 2 of the firms, unfortunately, were disqualified because they did not contain that Board of Election certificate, which is a requirement that we're not allowed to waive.
But we have a checklist, we have training.
Yes, I made a personal appeal to the consulting community that I didn't want to see any disqualifications this time, so I was disappointed.
Want to be clear that we've done as much as maybe we can, we try to do as much as we can do to make sure everybody is aware of the requirements.
Do they turn their checklist back in?
We don't require that.
Would it make sense to have them turn the checklist back in with checks on them?
Signed off and checked.
Like a 5-year-old, but that's what I would have done.
In my respect, it also is their professional. I mean, these are supposed to be professional entities, but they're leaving that detail out.
That's true. It makes us nervous.
That's the difference between 1 inch and 2 inches of overlay. Yeah.
But the regularity with which this is a problem suggests that there's something the matter with this. There's a systemic problem. I mean, if there were a lot of other things that didn't get turned in, I would be less concerned about this.
I just think they're not used to doing it, and a year from now it won't be.
Because I used to respond to RFPs, and when that one showed up as a requirement, it's kind of a tricky one to understand.
I guess all I'm saying is there a way for us to help them? I understand the professionals and their grownups and they need to do it, but if this is a transition.
How many responded?
50. We had 50 statements from 43 firms. So some of them submitted on both items.
And how many didn't submit the search for service?
Two.
How many were disqualified?
There were two disqualifications.
Yeah, I guess all I'm saying is it's always around this.
Yeah, but if 43 of them got it right, two just weren't paying attention. I mean.
Paul, it typically occur where this is the first time a company is responding to an RFP or a bid?
That wasn't the case with these two.
Okay. So, I mean, that would have some.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, that there would be an opportunity. Some of these forms are on file.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the consulting community has requested that, you know, could
carry over.
Could it just be a situation where, you know, we could verify that it's on file, you know, rather than having them printed out and included every time? So, we have been looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
So in many cases, those who don't supply that are people who should know better by now.
Yes, that's the case.
But anybody that submits their checklist information, they give you an overview of who they are every time, even though we've seen a lot of the same names repeatedly. You get a statement from them that says, here's who we are, here's our areas of expertise, here's our group, whatever. I mean, how much more can you do to have them fill out a form that should be relatively easy compared to the rest of them?
And if they are disqualified, they do receive a letter, and the letter actually comes from Mr. Donato, our chief of procurement, and it spells out, you know, exactly what the issue was.
My only point is we have two goals. Our goal is to get as many people bidding as possible and to conform with the law. And I think on the first one, if we're seeing a pattern here, if we can, and maybe it's by saying things are on file, and we can go and look in the file.
I don't know that we can make that
change.
I mean, it is the law that they're supposed to be submitting their certificate, so I don't know that we have that kind of discretion. But, you know, there's certainly, I don't know that there's any harm in requiring the submission of the checklist along with the bid. Frankly, it might just, though, present another opportunity to have
disqualified.
Disqualified.
I withdraw my.
You could
suggestion.
You can highlight this particular one in yellow so they pay attention to it, perhaps.
In neon.
Yeah, something.
I mean, you could highlight it because it's not a typical and it's relatively new. It's not a typical thing that people are used to seeing.
Put it under reminder. I mean, just so you want them to pay attention to it, but you also. I mean, again, if you had 43 conform and tuned in for whatever reasons, and the reasons are only known to them, so.
We are experiencing a downward trend in this, and they are approaching zero, so
okay.
I'm very hopeful.
Stated like an engineer.
So item three, the construction management contract. It's actually the construction manager who's going to oversee those two ramp purchases at the O'Hare Interchange. We're awarded this contract. It's recommended to Burns and McDonald in an amount not to exceed $2,077,270.50. We did receive 16 statements of interest on this particular item that were evaluated. Burns and McDonald is committed to a 25% DB goal, and they did not submit a formal Metaprojet plan on this particular contract. However, they are informally going to mentor one of their DB partners, ABNA, and ABNA's going to perform 10% of the work, and they're not going to be seeking, you know, the 5% credit that they would get for a full Metaprojet, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Thank you. The other one's a professional service contract interview for as well.
Okay. Item four is a design contract. It's for reconstruction and widening of Reagan Memorial Tollway from Deer Path Road to Illinois Route 56. This short stretch of I-88, it's the last little piece of widening and reconstruction that we're going to do in the whole program. The project does have some overlap with one bridge and two culverts. Award of this contract is recommended to Train System Corporation in an amount not to exceed $890,381.30. We evaluated 34 statements of interest on this contract, and Train Systems did submit a vendor proposal plan for this particular contract. They are committed to meeting the 20% EBE goal without even considering the 5% credit that they are going to get for this vendor proposal. So their overall commitment is 25% on this job.
How come so many of the firms you picked are from Kansas City?
Well, both of them were. In this case, that wasn't a conscious effort on our part.
Isn't our consulting engineer from Kansas City?
That's right. Their main office, I believe, could be. In this case, I feel really confident about these two selections. They haven't had work from the tollway in quite some time. They do excellent quality work, and especially in the second item where they are going to be on a very tight schedule because we want to get this work out on the street for next year's construction. And you know, normally I like to give them a year for the design period, and we know, you know, we've already worked 3 months in here, 4 months, so I feel pretty good about the quality of these two guys to get the work done.
You might be the number one employer in Kansas City, Missouri.
They also provided the best bid.
Move to approve items three
and four. Any second. Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. And three and four will be placed on the consent agenda. Paul, let's look at number five.
Number five is a supplement. I'm recommending to Kingman Associates in the amount of $146,700, and that's to provide additional design services to us. Ting is in the process of completing. We had them do a reevaluation and a reanalysis and testing of our two IEDE bridges over the Fox River. We got them started on this work last November. This additional funding is going to allow them to complete some additional field testing for us and wrap up their final report on this.
And recall that final report is something that you will come back to us on because of us just wanting to look at these bridges a little more thoroughly as a result of the design and perhaps using it elsewhere. So,
absolutely.
Any questions on items number five?
Is Tang and Associates headquartered in Kansas?
No, unfortunately.
They are headquartered in.
They were just purchased, I believe, by a Canadian firm. They do have a local.
They have a big office.
Yes. And they have a very, very high quality structural staff. Mm-hmm. They're doing a good job on this.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Did I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion made and seconded on item number five. All in favor signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and item number five will be placed on the consent agenda. Item number six.
Item six is a request for final lease of a Tinus to Hurley Mid-Continent. It's in the amount of $10,000, and it's on contract 5571. It's for bridge. It's some bridge rehab work that they did on the Tri-State Tollway. Most notably, they worked on the I-80 bridges at the interchange with 294. They've completed this contract within the budget, and they've exceeded their DB, their original DB commitment. So things are definitely in order on this one.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve this item number six. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and item number six will be placed on the consent agenda. Any other questions or areas of discussion we need to have for the committee? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve, please, or adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and we stand adjourned. Thank you.